Tonight we're going to talk about limits. About limits. It tells us in chapter 3. You know, when we're talking about the difference between faith and law, I want to hit some points, some main points about law, so that we can see that what it means by dealing with law. The difference between faith and law. It says, "You foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you?" This is chapter 3, verse 1. "Before your very eyes, Jesus Christ was clearly portrayed as crucified. I would like to learn just one thing from you. Did you receive the Spirit by observing the law or by believing what you heard?" Now, I want you to notice as we go through this, you're going to hear the same things that you've always heard when you read Galatians 3, but now you're going to have to hear something that's there that hasn't been added. It's there. But we're going to pay attention to it tonight, where so many have missed it, because this is one of the mysteries of God. "You foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? Before your very eyes, Jesus Christ was clearly portrayed as crucified. I would like to learn just one thing from you. Did you receive the Spirit by observing the law or by believing what you heard?" Observing the law. Let's break that down. What is that? What is that, observing the law? That's trying to justify yourself according to law. That's walking by what you can see. Observance of law is walking according to the flesh. That's walking by what you can see. But it's not just observance of law. We're not talking about just observing the Ten Commandments and the 613 regulations of the Mosaic Law. We're talking about walking by observation. Get it? Observation is what you see. Walking by observation. Observing. Walking by what you see around you. When you walk according to times and seasons, let me ask you the question now. Are you walking according to law? If you're walking according to times and seasons, are you walking according to law? Of course you are. As it says in Ecclesiastes chapter 3, there's a time for everything under heaven. There's a time for everything under heaven. And I want to read you some of those things. Under heaven. Under heaven is the key word. That's walking by observation, when you walk according to things under heaven. Under heaven. And I'm repeating this a lot so that you'll get this in your heart and your head, and you'll meditate upon this. Under heaven. Let's go to Ecclesiastes chapter 3. You'll find that right after Proverbs, if you're not familiar. Second, I don't have too many. There's a time for everything. There's a time for everything and a season for every activity under heaven. There's times and there's seasons, isn't there? There's a time to be born and a time to die. I want to take each one of these things. Right, we're talking about observance of law. Observance is walking by what you can see. Walking by what you can see, what you can observe. So it's not just the law. It's not just the Ten Commandments and the 613 stipulations, the regulations of the Mosaic Law, but it's walking according to all law and all things done under heaven. It's working according to times and seasons. It's walking according to boundaries. It's walking according as a finite individual when you're called to be an infinite individual through Christ. We, through faith, are called to walk according to the infinite and not the finite. Not the contained, but the uncontained. I think that you're going to see something revolutionary here. What Jesus attempted to pass on to us in understanding through faith. There's a time to be born, it says in verse 2, and a time to die. Is that true for those who walk according to heaven? For those who walk according to heaven, there is never a time to die. Death is for the flesh. Death is for what's down here. We have been delivered from the penalty of death through Jesus Christ. We look for the resurrection of the dead. This is talking about things done under heaven. A time to plant and a time to uproot. A time to kill and a time to heal. A time to tear down and a time to build. A time to weep and a time to laugh. A time to mourn and a time to dance. A time to scatter stones and a time to gather them. A time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing. A time to search and a time to give up. A time to keep and a time to throw away. I want to look at this for a second. A time to search and a time to give up. You can search for God according to the carnal, according to the limits and the boundaries, and guess what? You'll never find Him. There's a time to search, and then there's a time to give up. Man doesn't find God according to his effort or his desire. And we're going to see, I want to read that to you real quick in Romans. This is so expanding in our walk, in our understanding of what Christianity is. In Romans chapter 8, it tells us this. Romans chapter 9, it tells us this. 'Not only so, when Rebekah's children had one and the same father, our father Isaac, yet before the twins had done anything bad or good, in order that God's purpose and election might stand, not by works, but by Him who calls. See, it's not from by works, what we do down here under heaven, but what He has done who is above heaven. Not by works, but by Him who calls. I want you to see that concept. It's not by what you do. You can search and never find under heaven. And if you search only under heaven, there's a time to give up because you're within limits. You're in boundaries. You're finite. But in order that God's purpose and election might stand, not by works, but by Him who calls, not by your effort, but by God reaching down, the infinite reaching into this finite. He said, by that purpose and election, the older will serve the younger. Just as it is written, Jacob I have loved, but Esau I have hated. So what shall we say? Is God unjust? Not at all. I'll have mercy on whom I have mercy, and I'll have compassion on whom I have compassion. It does not therefore depend upon man's desire or effort. Hello? It doesn't depend on man's desire or effort, but on God's mercy. It doesn't depend on you. It depends on God. If it depended on you, there is no escape from the finite. There's a time to search and a time to give up. There's a time to keep and a time to throw away. A time to tear and a time to mend. A time to be silent and a time to speak. A time to love and a time for hate. A time for war and a time for peace. All these times are under heaven. Let me tell you a secret with God, who's above the heavens. There is no time. How do we know that? because there is no change. We believe in the God who shows no shadow or variance of change. There is no time with God. He is infinite, which means He is all-seeing and all-knowing, which is omniscient. He is all-powerful, which means omnipotent. He is omnipresent. He is everywhere at once. And that also refers to His timelessness. Omniscient means He knows all and sees all at once. See, time marks change. God does not change. All time is the concept that we have of marking change. And so everything done under heaven in the finite place is constantly changing. So there is a time for everything, and it goes in cycles. And these patterns, these boundaries, are set by God. A time for war, a time for peace, a time to love, and a time to hate. See, it's down here where we see that bitter water and sweet water flow from the same cistern, just at different times. But you see, with God, there is no time. With God, it's only sweet water. It's not bitter water. Can you see how all these concepts start to merge in a bigger concept? Tell me right now, just type in a one. Can you see how all these concepts start to merge in a bigger concept of God? And how it's not dependent upon you, but it's dependent upon God. We need help from the infinite to reach down to the finite. Now, so all these changes, are observed changes. We walk according to what we do not see. Not according to what we do see, because if we walk according to what we do see, we will perish with what is seen, because everything that is seen is perishable. And there is change in everything. So you foolish Galatians, Paul says. Now I want you to understand, as we start to talk about this, he's using the law as an example, but he's not just talking about the law. He's not just talking about the Ten Commandments, and he's not just talking about the 613 regulations. He's talking about law, period. I would like to learn just one thing from you. Did you receive the Spirit by observing the law? By what you observe? Or by what you believed? By believing what you heard? Are you so foolish that after beginning with the Spirit, the infinite, are you now trying to attain your goal by human effort, the finite? The flesh and the Spirit, the infinite and the finite? Are you so foolish after beginning with the Spirit? Are you now trying to attain your goal by human effort? Have you suffered so much for nothing? If it really was for nothing, does God give you His Spirit and work miracles among you? And this is the point, miracles. 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 Miracles don't fit in with beginning and end. Miracles do not fit in with finite. Those are things that come from the infinite. Miracles do not come by the observance of law or the observance of anything or by walking according to what you see. Miracles come through the Spirit. Have you suffered so much for nothing, if it really was for nothing? Did God give you a Spirit and work miracles among you because you observed the law or because you believe what you heard? Now, how does the miracles come? By observing law or by believing what you heard? Miracles are super nature, not nature. Nature is what is seen. Supernature is what is not seen. Nature passes away. Supernature does not. Nature is within boundaries. Boundaries.
This far you shall go, and no farther shall you go. Supernature doesn't have any boundaries like that. One is contained, the other is not contained.
Consider Abraham. He believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. Understand then that those who believe are children of Abraham. The scripture foresaw that God would justify the Gentiles by faith. They could never. Now, this is an important point. Let's take the law now as Paul's using it as an example. Could a Gentile ever use the law of the Jews, the Ten Commandments and the 613 regulations, and justify himself? No, the Jews couldn't either, but they didn't know that. But the law showed a Gentile, definitely, you're a dog, and you're outside the promises of God. But Abraham received a promise when he was still a Gentile. And that sign of circumcision that's done in the flesh, he received while he was still a Gentile. And Abraham believed. So his belief came before the observance of law or the giving of law. His belief came before what was done in the flesh. His belief was manifested in what was done. It always starts in heaven and is manifested to the earth. He believed God, and it was counted to him as righteousness. And so the seal of being set apart as a righteous man, circumcision, was given to him in the flesh. But what happens when you've only got the seal and not the power? Then it becomes meaningless. Circumcision is nothing. If you only have the seal and not the power of faith, of which the seal represents, then you have nothing. And you have no righteousness, because without faith, you cannot please God. And this is what the Jews lost. They tried to justify themselves by being a child of Abraham. But a true child of Abraham is one by faith, because Abraham believed. And it was counted to him as righteousness. And so it is because he received it as a Gentile, a man called out from Babylon, from Ur. He is a representative of the Gentiles who believe by faith. And this gospel was announced in advance through Abraham. All nations will be blessed through you, God told him. So those who have faith are blessed along with Abraham, the man of faith. Now, all who rely on observing the law are under curse. Why? They walk according to what they see, not faith. Faith walks according to what it doesn't see. All who rely on observing the law are under a curse, for it is written, cursed is everyone who does not continue to do everything written in the book of the law. Clearly, no one is justified before God by the law, because the righteous will live by faith. Wow. The law is not based on faith. On the contrary, the man who does these things will live by them. It's by observation, seeing. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by walking according, he redeemed us from walking according to this observation to walk according to faith, what can't be observed with human eyes, by becoming a curse for us, by paying the law and its hold on us in bondage. Cursed is everyone who hung on a tree. He redeemed us in order that the blessing given to Abraham might come to the Gentiles through Christ Jesus, so that by faith we might receive the promise of the Spirit. And that's what was given to Abraham, is the promise of the Spirit. Now, this is going to get really interesting. You're going to be surprised at where this Christianity leads us. The true Christianity. He says, brothers, let's go on down. Verse 21, is the law opposed to the promises of God? It's the same thing as saying, is what you see opposed to what you cannot see? Absolutely not. For if the law had been given that could impart life, then righteousness would certainly have come by that law. But the scripture declares that the whole world is a prisoner of sin.
so that what was promised, being given through faith in Jesus Christ, might be given to those who believe. It's by faith, not by observing law. Before this faith came, we were held prisoners by the law, locked up until faith should be revealed. Locked up. Verse 20. So before this faith came, we were held prisoners by the law, locked up until faith should be revealed. So the law was put in charge to lead us to Christ, that we might be justified by faith. Now that faith has come, we're no longer under the supervision of the law. That, you know, the supervision of the law is a lot like a jail cell. It's finite. It's not like the wide world of freedom where you can wake up in the morning and say, hey, today I think I'll go to the beach. Can't do that if you're in a jail cell. Your world is real small, isn't it, in a jail cell. If you wake up in your own home, though, outside of a jail cell, you can say, oh, I'm free. I think today I'll go to the beach. Or maybe I'll go to the movies. Or maybe I'll go to the mall. Or maybe I'll just go down to the refrigerator, get something to eat, and go sit myself down in a chair and watch TV. You're free. But you can't do that in a jail cell. You're locked up and you're held under supervision. This is the difference between the infinite freedom of the Spirit and those that are locked up under the law. Finite boundaries. Finite boundaries under supervision. You realize everything in creation that can be seen has boundaries. God laid out the line and laid out the land in the sea. He parted the waters and the land, and he said to the seas, your proud waves are stayed here. I set the boundaries. I separated the light from the darkness. I made day and I made night. I made the boundaries. This world is like a cage. Boundaries everywhere. Finite. This far shall you go and no farther. There's a time to be born in these boundaries, and one of those boundaries is death, a time to die. There's a time to begin and a time to end. There's a time to get up and there's a time to go to sleep. We read you about all those times. Boundaries. The whole creation is based on boundaries and laws. The law of physics. What goes up must come down. What goes up must come down. It's all law, isn't it? So, what do we learn by being under the law of sin and death? See, it was never just to look at that law for itself. But what is it that you learn that you can spread to the rest of your life? You find that everything of flesh and blood and in creation that can be seen is under law. So Jesus didn't just come to free us from the law of sin and death. Jesus came to free us from law. He came to free us from boundaries. This far you shall go and no farther. To free us from that which is done can't be undone. That's the way it is in these boundaries. What do you think miracles are? It's the undoing of things that can't be undone. It's the interference of supernature in nature. He goes on to tell us that you're all sons of God through faith, not according to what you see. Go look in the mirror. Do you look like a son of God? You don't have that resurrection body yet. There's not a whole lot there to see, but something that's wasting away. You walk by faith, not by what you see. You're all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus, for you were all baptized into Christ, having clothed yourself with Christ. There's neither Jew nor Greek nor slave nor free, male nor female. Can you look in the mirror, though, and not see male or female? Can you look in the mirror and not see Jew or Greek? No, you don't walk by what you see. You walk by what you do not see. If you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed,
and heirs according to the promise. And that's what we have through faith, what we believe. Now, I'm saying that as long as the heir is a child, he's no different from a slave, although he owns the whole estate. He's subject to guardians and trustees until the time set by his father. So also, when we were children, speaking of mankind, we were in slavery under the basic principles. Here it goes. Here's where we begin to get hairy. We were in slavery under the basic principles of the world. And when the time had fully come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under law, to redeem those under law. Now let's look at this. We were in slavery under the basic principles of the world. Now, the basic principles of the world are not the Mosaic law. The basic principles of the world are physical principles. What goes up must come down. You grow for a while, and then you begin to die. You sow something, you reap something. Physical principles. That includes all law, all boundaries. The tide goes in, the tide goes out. Gravity is a law. It's a boundary. We were in slavery under all the basic principles, not just the Mosaic law. But when the time had fully come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under law. Jesus was not just born under the Mosaic law, circumcised the eighth day. He was not just born under those 613 regulations of that Mosaic law as a Jew, but he was also born as a man from a woman, a human being, under all law. Physical principles, physics. He was born under all those laws. Did he walk according to those laws? Or did he walk above them? Let's look. He sent a son born of a woman, born under law, to redeem those under law, that we might receive the full rights as sons. Because you are sons of God, God sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, the Spirit that calls out, Abba, Father. So now we know, through faith, we belong to God, that we're not of this world, hello, the world, not just of the Jews, not just of the Jews, of the world. We know that we're not any more of the world than he is of the world, not just of the Jews and their law, but of any law. Of any law that governs the physical, because we're not of this world. Do you know that this world has a God, and it is not the same God we have? Who's the God of this world? Somebody tell me in the text chat. Who is the God of this world? Who's given that dominion? Which one offered it to Jesus? If you'll just worship me, showed him all the kingdoms of the earth, the kingdoms of men. It was Satan. Satan is the God of this world. And when you're under law, he's got you where he wants you. He's got you. He keeps you in slavery through law. And it's not just the Ten Commandments. But it tells us he kept us in slavery in Hebrews chapter 2 through our fear of death. Now, how did he keep us there? Through law. A man, there's a time to be born and a time to die. Ooh, how did he keep you in slavery? Through your fear of death. The fear that's in beginning and end. The fear of the bondage that's placed on you by being under law. Not just the Ten Commandments. Not just the Mosaic law. But law, period. Fear in your bondage to death. He could work law against you as he accused us according to the law when we sinned. The accuser of the brethren. That's how he held the power of death. He is the God of this world. And he uses those laws that God has placed against us to keep us in bondage. You know, the jailer didn't build the jail. He was just hired to watch it. You see what I mean?
Satan didn't build this jail, but he was given in charge of it, wasn't he? As the jail keeper, keeping us in bondage under law. Now listen to this. Formerly, when you did not know God, you were slaves to those who by nature are not gods. Who are we talking about here? Formerly, when you did not know God, you were slaves to those who by nature are not gods. Who are they slaves to, who by nature are not gods? The powers and the principalities. Those who by nature are not gods. Did you not realize every time they worshiped something in creation, they were worshiping Satan and his kingdom? Because if Satan can get you to worship creation, it takes worship away from Creator, and he is creation. Satan is. It's subtle, isn't it? And we did, by worshiping times and laws, gods of dying and reviving vegetation. Gods of dying and reviving vegetation. Like Baal. When we worshiped times and seasons, we were worshiping creation, not Creator. When we walked by the observance of law instead of by faith, we were worshiping Satan, not God. And therefore we were in bondage to what passes away and its boundaries. You've got to see this. So formerly, when you did not know God, you were slaves to those who by nature are not gods. And now that you know God, or rather, because God reached out to us first, are known by God, how is it that you're turning back to those weak and miserable principles? Do you wish to be enslaved by them all over again? We're supernatural beings, Paul is telling us right here. We're supernatural beings that walk by faith. We don't walk by what we see. Why would we want to go back and observe special days and months and seasons and years? I fear for you that somehow I've wasted my efforts on you. I plead with you, brothers, become like me, for I became like you. You've done me no wrong. For as you know, it was because of an illness I first preached the gospel to you. Even through though my illness was a trial to you, you did not treat me with contempt or scorn. Instead, you welcomed me as if I were an angel of God, as if I were Christ Jesus himself. What has happened to all your joy? I'll tell you what happened to their joy. They went back into the bondage of what can be seen. They went back to worshiping those who by nature are not gods. And there ain't no joy in that. Can you see this? Jesus walked on water. A man born of woman, born under law, did not walk according to law. He walked according to his Father. He walked according to where he was truly from, heaven. He didn't walk according to what he could see. And now Jesus tells us this. Let me read it to you in John 17. I want you to remember, they asked Jesus, you know, who are you? Isn't this Jesus, the son of Joseph, the carpenter, whom we know from Nazareth? And Jesus said, where I've come from, you don't know. And where I'm going, you can't follow. He's the man from heaven. The first man was a living soul, 1 Corinthians 15. But the last Adam was a life-giving spirit. So in John 17, Jesus tells us this in his prayer. My prayer is not for them alone. But all those who will believe, that's for us. All those who will believe in me through their message. Verse 20. So you're included in this. Now listen. I am coming to you, Holy Father. Protect them by the power of your name and the name you gave me, so that they may be as one as we are one. Verse 12. While I was with them, I protected them and kept them safe. By the name you gave me, none has been lost except the one doomed to destruction, so that the scripture might be fulfilled. I'm coming to you now, but I say these things that while I'm still with the world, so they may have the full measure of my joy. See, there's that joy Paul talked about they were missing, robbed from them, that they may have my joy within them. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them, for they are not of the world any more than I am of the world. Let that soak all over you. You're not of the world. Jesus said, if my kingdom was of this world, my servants would fight for it. This isn't our world. This isn't our home. We're strangers and aliens here. We're people of the Spirit. We're a holy priesthood called by God, made by God, formed by God, according to the Spirit, and blessed in the heavenly realms, not the earthly realms, the heavenly realms, with every spiritual blessing in Christ Jesus. That's who you are, by faith in the sacrifice of Christ. You're no longer of this world any more than He was of this world. And if Jesus walked on water, He walked above law. He went beyond what the law required. He fulfilled all law. And we're to walk in His fulfillment. We can't fulfill law here in this flesh, but we can sure walk in His fulfillment, what He's provided. And He's the one who says that we're no longer of this world any more than He is. We're of the next. So what power are you walking to? Of that which you see or that which you do not see? Now you understand what He means if you said in your heart to that mountain, be cast you into the sea, and you believed in your heart that it would be. Faith. Jesus said if you had the grain of mustard seed. Well, if you're looking at the mustard seed, it's small. But realize in heaven, it's already a tree. It's a big tree. You're walking by what you believe, by who you know, not what you see with these carnal eyes. Because no eye has seen and no ear has heard what God has laid up for those who love Him. And we're called to go out and do exploits. Miracles. They're not of this world. Do you understand that? They're not of this world. Why would you still want to be under those weak and beggarly elements that you've been freed from? Is it that you just feel the weight of the shackles there, even though they're not really there anymore? See, in walking with God is to walk supernaturally. The limits that you suffer from are only the limits you put upon yourself, that you agree to put on yourself. The chains that you have are only the ones you agree to wear. The burden you carry is only the burden you will not lay down at Christ's feet. You need to get understanding of who you are in Christ by submission to Him in faith. You're not under law. You're not under boundaries. You're starting to get a little taste, a little glimmer of light. You're starting to get that little glimmer of light, white dove, that little glimmer that says all things are possible with God. All things are possible with God. Praise God. So you're not just free from one law. You're free from all law, if in fact you're walking according to the Spirit. And this is our gospel. Amen.